Alright, I gotta take care of a little chore before I preach. Want everybody to put on your smiley face. Hey, there we go. Alright, we'll take one side at a time. Alright, everybody look like you're happy to be here. We hope you are. Thank you much. I got him, dear. We're supposed to do that this morning. And we sat down and everything. She put me, you forgot. So, anyway, remember now. So, I find as I get a little older, that's what I'm best at. Forgetting stuff. But we're thankful for the time we've had. The fellowship has been great. We really appreciate it. It brings back so many wonderful memories, and we've made more wonderful memories through this weekend. And I'll never forget our wonderful spring service. And we left, and I got a magnolia tree in the front yard. I got a red bug tree in the front yard I planted. I got a crab tree in the front yard. And they were all popping and blooming and so forth. And not so much up here yet. I joked, I sent, when we heard the forecast, I sent a text to Brother Graber and says, well, if nothing else, maybe we can go snowmobiling. And we just about could. It looks out there, but we again have enjoyed and count everything a blessing. Let's turn back to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. We're going to try to, not to necessarily cut things short, but it seems like we never go as long in the afternoon service. We have a morning and then a break in an afternoon service, and we never go quite as long. Instead of going an hour and a half, I only plan to go about an hour and 15 minutes. So I cut it. Psalm chapter 30. Not Psalm. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. This passage has always been a blessing to my heart. Such a great encouragement in so many ways. And we hope it will be to you as we close out these services. All of us in the course of time are going to have some trials. We're going to have some dark days. We're going to have some negative things happen to us in our lives. And so many times, even dear friends and loved ones will try to encourage but are limited. And we need to do what David did here. And we've been in some situations in our life and ministry where we've had to do what David did here. And we see here in this 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, David seemed to be over the hump. He seemed to be going in the right direction as far as Saul giving up on pursuing him and killing him. He'd been just pursued, and he had some faithful men and their families that followed him. And they were constantly on the lookout, constantly on the run, and one thing and another. And it seemed like basically the clouds were parting and peace was on the horizon, and looked like so many things were going to be going their way. And then what might be considered the ultimate tragedy of tragedies, David and all the men that were with him while he was away, another band of soldiers came. They overrun the place where they were staying. And they hauled off all the women folk. They hauled off all the children. And David and his men come back to find their village, to find what there was of their homes and their families just destroyed and gone. And it was a very trying time. But David didn't react like a lot of people do. You know, it's one of the sad things I've witnessed through the years of our ministry here and there. People have trouble. They have issues. They have problems. Maybe get blindsided by some, you know, personal or family tragedy. And one of the first things they do is give up on God. One of the first things they do is turn their back on the Lord's men and the Lord's people and so forth. And David didn't do that. As we read here, we'll look at what David did, and may it be a constant reminder to us as we find ourselves dealing with the dark side of things, some of the tragedies of life, circumstances way beyond our control. Let us do what David did. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten, and had smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Now I'm sure before they ever got close, they could see maybe the smoke rising up, could see the burned out places that they lived, whether they were abodes or tents or whatever they happened to be in and at that time. And before they ever got there, before they ever reached it, they could probably see the devastation. And they burned it with fire. Verse 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Get a picture of that. Get a picture of that in your mind. You're coming home. Seemed like, you know, there's peace on the horizon. Seemed like your worst adversary, old Saul, had promised to give up his talent and his time trying to kill him and one thing and another. And they come back to a burned out village. Come back to all their homes and dwellings burned out. And their wives and their sons and their daughters all gone. Verse 4, it says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Oh, how they wept, how they mourned, how they wept. And notice what it says. Until they had no more power to weep. It all poured out of them. Everything they'd been dealing with for months and months, the challenges of running and hiding, and the challenges of having to live in a foreign land and so forth, and trying to keep ahead of Saul's army and those that wanted to slay him, and come home and everything's burned up and gone. And they wept till they had no more power to weep. They literally just cried and cried and cried till they just physically couldn't anymore. What a sad picture of that. David didn't get mad. He didn't raise his fist at God. He didn't curse God. He didn't go around and have a massive pity party. Why me, God? Why now? Why here? It says in verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, because not only had all this happened, not only had their village been burned, not only had the wives and the sons and the daughters been carried away captive, but now his own men were contemplating stoning him, killing him. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughter. But what did David do? David did the best thing he possibly could do. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Seemed like everything in the world was lost. And even his own men who followed him so faithfully and were with him in battles and with him hiding out in caves and in the wilderness places and so forth and here with their, they were even taking and talking of stoning him. I can hear some of them now. We wouldn't be in this place if we hadn't followed David. It's all David's fault. He led us here. We followed him here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, beloved, I guarantee you live very long in your life, you're going to get to the point, you're going to get to a place where it comes down to just you and the Lord. Where it comes down to just you and God. And even though if you have friends and family that try to help, try to understand, try to encourage, but some way or another just can't know what you're dealing with. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. To encourage oneself in the Lord God is to fasten your faith on the Lord in your darkest hours and most troubling times. To hold fast your faith. There's an old saying about what to do when you get to the end of the rope. Just tie a knot and hang on. You know, when you're in a dark place, you're dealing with dark. Beloved, God's still God. Amen. God hasn't gone anywhere. God, you're still the Lord's. The love of the Lord is just as true and just as real. There's a hymn, and it always just gets to my heart anywhere, anytime I've heard it sung. But the hymn is called The God of the Mountains, the God of the Good Times. He's also the God in the valley. He's also the God in the dark times. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in his trust, in his confidence, in the love of the Lord. You know, Job went through a lot. And I've said it over and over and over. I'm honest when I say I pray the Lord and ask to hope the Lord never makes me or really anybody I know a Job. But, beloved, what was Job's end? He ended up twice, he ended up double better off than he was when he started. And all because of the mercy, knowing the tender mercy of the Lord. The latter end of Job was more than when he started. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then the next thing he did, instead of forsaking God's house and forsaking God's man and just going off and saying, I'm done with God. If God could do this to me, I just had it. It's just too much. I'm done with the Lord. No. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod, and David inquired at the Lord. He didn't forsake God. He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't turn away from God. He didn't forsake. He called God's man. He called the priest. He said, bring the ephod. Let us inquire of the Lord. Let us look to the Lord. Let's see what the Lord wants us to do. You know, I've had situations in my life that I honestly have to say, I just saw something that was going on. I felt like I needed to do something, jump in and try to do something. Many times I look back and say, I wish I'd really took that thing to the Lord. I wish I really had prayed about that situation more. I wish I really had took the time to get more direction of the Lord. David didn't just, not only did he not turn his back on God or forsake God or get all lost in a pity party, but he called the priest to bring the ephod, and they inquired of the Lord. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he inquired of the Lord. Basically, what should I do? What now, Lord? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him. God heard him and God answered him. Beloved, in your darkest time, if you'll encourage yourself in the Lord, maybe you need to get with God's man. Maybe you need to get together with God's people. And you pray and you seek what the will of the Lord is for you to do. He'll give you guidance. He'll lead you in what to do. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, the Lord answered David, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. Without fail. You got my guarantee, David. The Lord gave David the greatest of insurances. Go and overtake them. And without fail, you'll recover all. So what did David do? He ensued. He got up and went after him. Said, okay, he rallied his men and said, let's go. And along the way, we'll cut a few things here. A little short, along the way, they came to one who'd been left behind because he was sick and faltering. He was one of the servants of those that had raided the village, and basically they were leaving him for dead. And they took this man in, and they nursed him and fed him and so forth, and inquired of the army fleeing away and going back, and this man was able to give him insight and understanding to the enemy. Valuable information that David needed Verse 15, and David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. He didn't want to go back and be with them either. And when he had brought them down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David did what God said do. He immediately attacked. He immediately went down and engaged in battle with them. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. What a victory. What a victory. God gave him a total. He went from utter devastation and defeat and weeping and so brokenhearted they could cry no more. To taking and overcoming. Winning a great battle, a great victory. Oh, beloved, I like verse 18. What did God say to David? Pursue them. You'll overtake them. And without fail, recover all. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. You know, sometimes we go through things and we're at such a low moment and so forth that, you know, we'll never see sunny skies again. We'll never see, you know, warmth and flowers blooming again. Just going to be all snow and freezing cold and so. And then, you know, the Lord send a heat wave. But David happened, you know, God's not going to lead us astray. And we think of all the promises of God. We think of all the word of God. You know, when Moses and the people had been victorious and so forth and had gone through all the time in the wilderness, and then that generation passed and Joshua was led to take over after Moses passed, and they won a great victory and so forth, but they had a time of victory. One of the things they say, I can't remember what chapter, what verse right off the top of my head now, but they rejoiced, they sang a song to the Lord, and part of the song was, there had not failed one promise of all that the Lord had given us. Beloved, one day we're going to be in glory, and we're going to sing the same song. There had not failed a single promise of all that the Lord had promised. There had not failed a single word of all that the Lord revealed. They're not fail of a single blessing that God assured us of receiving. God said, pursue, overtake them, without fail, recover all. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Beloved, in the midst and the time of our trials, seemingly in our darkest hour, circumstances beyond our control, maybe some alarming, some emotionally devastating, let's remember to stop and encourage ourselves in the Lord. When we can't do anything else, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can get with God's man and God's people, and we can pray and inquire of the Lord. And just as wondrous and just as greatly and just as blessedly, God will give the victory. We have this admonition. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beloved. Verse 57, 58. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, therefore, whenever you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. These words in verse 58 are therefore because of the victory that's assured in Jesus our Lord. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that victory, because of that assurance, because of that truth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's never wasted. It's never useless. It's never just spinning our wheels. It's never lost. It's never futile. As ye know, for as much as ye know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, beloved, may God help us. May God bless you. We rejoice of having had this time with you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thankful. Brother Graver, all the hospitality, great fellowship. We pray God will just encourage you to keep on keeping on till one day you hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Been faithful over a few things. Make you ruler over.